coming out today, and those certainly joining online. It is, as Verta just said and earlier, it is Palm Sunday. Yeah, I know it may not feel there's palms from palm trees outside today, but it's in our heart, right? What happened on Palm Sunday, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. I have just a few things, once I find me notes, to talk about before we jump in. One, just want to let you know that the pastoral team, we took a long journey down to Newport a few weeks ago and spent a few days down there, not to enjoy the scenery, although we did a little bit, but really bind together and pray for you. Certainly in the area of widows and new young families and other individuals that are here. But we really interceded and prayed for you. I don't say that to look at us, but I just want to let you know we're coming together to do that for you. We believe in you and what God's calling you to do, and why you are here is not by accident. So we were doing that. And then we also went through the organic disciple small groups, because the pastors are going to take turns on the small groups coming up to help walk through organic discipleship. I just want to echo for a minute before I show something, but I just want to echo from what Verta had said. If you have decided to, taking the gloves off early, if you decided to follow Christ, just coming Sunday is not going to give you much movement. I have a wonderful message prepared today, but it's still not going to give you movement. This is a small piece of you following Christ as a church community. Our vision, our mission is like any church. Matthew 28 and in Ephesians. Matthew 28, Jesus' last important thing before he ascended to heaven. Make disciples. Make disciples. Teach them what I've taught to you. And if you do, guess what? He'll be with you. Some of us are like, where are you? Teach and make disciples, and he'll be with you. It's what we're called to do. Not just from a pastoral standpoint, but as a church community, in our marketplaces, in our daily lives. And in Ephesians as well, Paul went into training people to do the works of the ministry. That could mean changing diapers in the toddler's room, to you witnessing to your friend in the marketplace or at work or wherever you are. You're in ministry daily. Ooh, don't run around the room all at once, but yeah, you are. And I'm learning it too, but we are. Together we're doing this thing called following Christ. But if you are going to be following Christ, it takes more than a Sunday. Pastor Chris, I'm busy. Takes more than a Sunday. Don't know. Jesus went out of his way, came down to heaven to come do what he needed to do to reconcile you back to him. So just on your heart, and I'm not trying to get people out Wednesday, what I am saying is small groups is a vital part of being discipled and following Christ, because in it the vision is walked out. Teaching, reaching, and connecting. Teaching, usually somebody's going to talk in the group. Reaching, you probably reached out of your comfort zone to come into the group. And then connecting with people around you. Amen. Don't let the enemy tell you to go into a small group, I'm not ready yet because of where my faith is. It's a lie. Right? Yeah. Everybody's somewhere. So the sooner we accept that, God will never leave us that somewhere. But we just jump into these groups. And iron sharpens iron, right? Amen. And we connect as a community. So I really would encourage you. I don't want to overshadow Health Soul that Miss Ann's teaching. That's very important as well, spirit, soul, and body. But Organic Disciple is going to be going on for a while. We really believe in this small group, and that's why we've committed all our assets of all the pastors teaching it each and every Wednesday night to do that. And there's going to be 8 sessions to that. So we look forward. We are going to keep it small, though, because it is a what? Small group. So don't procrastinate. I just want to show you some of the pictures of us down in Newport. We had a wonderful time just praying for each other, as I said, praying for you guys as well. Well, I wanted to say this one for last, but okay, so we're on the streets of Newport. There we are. All right. This was after a dinner. The ladies were with us, pastoral wives, and it was just a wonderful time. You can go to the next one. There we go. Yeah, we had to have some fun, so we went to the Newport Sailing Museum for a little bit and all got to try and dock a boat, a video game boat, obviously, so we didn't collide with anybody. Can you go back to the first one, though? See, I thought this was a funny picture. Because can you read the sign overhead? I said, guys, let's stop here and take a picture. Diva, come on. All right. All right, so we talked about small groups. You can take those down quickly, thank you. But we did have a great time, so. I want to pray for something, but I don't have time today to do everything I want to do. But next week, it is Easter Sunday, but I do want to take time as a church community so you can prepare leading up to Sunday. I want to pray for the teachers in our church community, public, private, whatever, teachers. So I'm going to ask teachers to stand up, and we're just going to lay in and pray. So you can prep yourself for that. Specifically, these were the things that came up when I was thinking about this and the Holy Spirit. I think we want to pray for grace, wisdom, and boldness that leads to love. No matter where they are, teachers are such an asset and an important of our general community. But next week I want to do that, so get ready to pray for that. I do want to pray for Haiti right now. We have a lot of family members in our church that are from Haiti, and there's a lot going on in the world. We could take most of the day, and we will continue to pray for those big things. But I wanted to really press in today for Haiti. As you know, a lot of chaos is ruling there. The established leadership is not there, unfortunately. A lot of bad things are happening, and I don't need to tell you, but I know those who have family members there. So we just want to come together right now in prayer. Can you just lean into this? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much to come together as a church community right now. And there is power in numbers when we pray, Lord. And as we're coming together through your Holy Spirit, we are leaning into the authority that Jesus has given us to pray for the things around this. And specifically today, the country of Haiti. Lord, where chaos reigns, you can reign greater, Lord. Where hurt and death and despair are growing, you can reign greater, Lord. We ask for you to be in this area, to give peace and wisdom to those and protection that cry out to your name, Lord, that this nation has a future and not the past. And we just claim this right now. And for family members that are there, we claim protection and your healing power of grace to come over those people, and that you have a testimony being written in here, Lord. Satan, you do not have that nation. They are God's people there. And we cover them with prayers right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Well, don't clap. So I want to jump into, I just want to mention too, something. I have so many notes. I just apologize here. Or do I? Let's see. Mm-hmm. Imagine silence in a church for a minute. Hang on. So we do have, is Pastor Ray, where are you? Is Eurico Rosa here? We have one of our missionaries here from Cape Verde. All right, how are you? I didn't see you today. He's one of our missionaries that we support. Thank you for the work you're doing. Thank you, and we value the opportunity where we can support you monthly to do that, doing some great work in Cape Verde. So thank you so much for coming out today, and I know the temperature is a little different than Cape Verde. So, all right. So we're going to start a series today that will go into Easter. It definitely relates, and it is called Road to Resurrection. We all may have roads, but we want to specifically talk about Jesus' road to resurrection. And I have a slide I just wanted to go over real quick, and then we'll jump and get moving on this. I know we don't have much time. So road to resurrection. Jesus came into a manger to become our Messiah. Jesus was born into humanity to connect with us and lead us through his divinity, which rescued us. Amen. The road to take our judgment, which led to his death, resurrected him to a king and us into a new life. Double amen there, right? Because of this road to resurrection, we are reconciled with our Father God. This is the really heart of this week, going into, as Verta said, Holy Week. And it starts with Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is in the day in which we commemorate Jesus' courageous entrance into Jerusalem, which kicked off a week when he was arrested, convicted, crucified, and more importantly, resurrected. Amen. But this begins the official kickoff of Holy Week, as we know. I want to focus in on three things. I believe we have time today. I want to talk to you about that Jesus is the Messiah of all the ages. And we'll get into that. Two, I want to talk about what Jesus talked about a lot when he was on this earth, the kingdom of God. Three, Palm Sunday is this official celebration, but it really is a true celebration as Christ followers. Amen? So let's talk about it. A Messiah for the ages, from a manger to a Messiah. As many of you know, Messiah means anointed one, is one word definition. We can expound it more in the Jewish Hebrew, but it's anointed one, appointed one, a set apart. In the messianic prophecies, there were many leading up to this, as we know, of Jesus, not just being born, but riding in on a donkey to Jerusalem that day. One of the great ones is Zechariah 9:9-10, as many of us know that. Yes. Rejoice, O people of Zion. So this was a prophecy before Jesus was born, and it's pretty detailed, I would think, and you would know. Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea and from the Euphrates rivers to the end of the earth. So there's one of the Masonic prophecies of Jesus, and that he fulfilled certainly on Palm Sunday. We talk about Messiah, but how many know, if you don't know somebody like this, it could be you. But those in 2024 that have a Messiah complex. It's a little side road for a minute. You know, those who were not really probably ordained, only by themselves, and nor are anointed to fix you and me when problems occur. The Messiah complex. FCC cares. That was a PSA. But be careful. Like I said, if you don't know of somebody with the Messiah complex, all right, well, let's get back to Jesus. Jesus, at his birth, even the angels proclaimed, the Messiah is born. Now, let's come into that Palm Sunday day. Obviously, it was probably 75 degrees and the weather was whatever, and it certainly isn't that today. But just follow me. Let's get into Matthew 21:1-11, which sets the scene of this Palm Sunday. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of the men on ahead. Go into the village, Jesus said, over there. As soon as you can enter it, you will see a donkey tied there. When it's a colt, and it's a colt beside it, untie them and bring them to me. If any of you ask what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs them. So he even preps them. You know, he prophesies there's going to be a donkey where he says it should be, and he preps them to say, well, why are you taking, a disciple would be taking this donkey, and he already preps them to say, the Lord needs them. Some of you step out in faith a lot, or trust, because our faith is anchored, hopefully, and our trust, and you don't know what to say to your trust. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is just telling you, open your mouth, and I'll speak through your mouth. Certainly in Jesus' time, he needed to prep them, but we are prepped by the Holy Spirit nowadays because Jesus is living in us through the Holy Spirit. And he will immediately let you take them, meaning the donkey. Keep going. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, so we're getting back to Zechariah, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him, and they threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, so he's entering into Jerusalem. And others cut branches from the trees and spread them out on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven." So you hear, have the Jews, keep going, in the entire, keep, we'll stay right there. You have the Jews knowing that this prophecy too had took place even in Jerusalem near the temples. So for the majority of Jews, it wasn't a shock, right? But they were celebrating this. Why don't we keep going to verse 10? Then the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. That word uproar means they were taking notice, right? As he entered, and they said, "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowds replied, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazarene in Galilee." The Messiah had entered Jerusalem. To Jerusalem. He was triumphantly arriving as a humble king of peace. Historically, as some of you may know, entering a city with a donkey enters in the tone of peace. But arriving on a horse enters the tone of conqueror. So Jesus, as you know, is very intentional when he was on the earth, right? I mean, he did his Father's will. Father God is very intentional. But if he had ridden on a horse, he would have displayed that he had conquered some physical enemy that the Jews were talking about, most of them, which we'll get into in a minute. But he rode in on a donkey to show peace. This was an amazing time because you have many different perspectives during this event. You have the Jews that are saying, Yeshua, Messiah is here. But most of them were thinking Jesus was here, yes, to reestablish the throne of David, but to conquer Rome. That's a physical enemy. Messiah, to conquer Rome. And then you had the Pharisees that were seeing this event unfold too, if we read further, and they're saying, who is he think he is? This man did not go to the Jerusalem Institute of Hebraic Priestly Learning Centers. Never attended one of our temple seminaries. Who does he think he is coming in here? Because the mere fact of coming in represented some authority and kingship or messiahship that was going on. And certainly to see the reaction from the people. Who does he think he is? And then certainly from the disciples' standpoint, most of them that were following him knew this Messiah was going to rule over something greater than Rome. It took them some time. Prophecies have been talking about this, but many of the people were looking through their lenses of this, their political lenses of what is it going to do for them now? This Jesus that's coming in that we're celebrating. For when Jesus taught, he was talking about an everlasting kingdom, right? But yet he's a Messiah. Jesus said these in a few scriptures to those who would listen to say, I'm not really the Messiah you may think I am. Luke 19:10. Why did he come? Can we get Luke 19:10 up there? That's all right. We know it well. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save which was lost. Lost. Not oppressed. Lost. It may have some oppression involved in it, but lost. And John 3:36, out of Jesus' words, that people were listening, why are you here? Who are you? And anyone who believes in God's Son, meaning Him, has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. John 5:24, Jesus continues to make clear why He's here. I will tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death to life. Amen. Hallelujah. But the religious folks would not hear all of this. You had the Jews' Messiah, important. He is a Messiah. But more to an immediate situation Messiah of a lens. Then you had the Pharisees that again are saying, I don't understand how he can be celebrated at all. Matthew 23:25-26, Jesus said this about these Pharisees. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside. I love this illustration. So careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first wash the inside of the cup and the dishes, then the outside will become clean to you. He was very clear and intentional where he thought the Pharisees were thinking he was. But on this Palm Sunday, there are these different views. Right now, if this were to happen in downtown Providence, who is Jesus to you? Are you there? And we don't have Rome repressing. We have government, but calm down. It's not like Rome. Are you there celebrating Jesus and you're looking through him, looking to him as a Messiah to save what you're going through right now? Follow me. Or the bigger picture of why he's here. We need to be very careful not to personalize our Messiah. Jesus was very key on, you see, the cultural context back then is Messiah. There were men that were Messiah. There were kings that were called Messiah. King Cyprus, who was not a godly man, was called a Messiah at that time to do a certain project and relieve something to do. So Jesus was very careful about that contextual culture at that time. He only said Messiah a few times to title himself. Everybody else called him Messiah because he had to lead people. He never had a challenge of proving his humanity. He was accused of trying to prove his divinity. So if I'm strategic to say, I am the Messiah, and this is very, please follow me. If you view him as a personal Messiah to you, which he did die for the cross, for your sins, we'll go into that, you're missing what goes beyond the cross. So Jesus was called the Messiah, But he was very careful not to call himself the Messiah, because he needed to lead people to what he was actually being a King of Kings of and a Lord of Lords of. Does that make sense? But if we're stuck with the title of a personal Messiah in downtown Providence today on 2024, that will only go so far. He saved you. He redeemed you. But if he's your genie for personal saving, every time you're in trouble, you're missing the big picture. Ouch. I have to learn this too. But he was careful about not saying, he called himself the Son of Man more than anything else. Son of Man was, I am human, but I have divinity within inside me. Because they couldn't really understand that title. But they could understand Messiah. You're going to say, you're going to get us out of oppression from Rome. Many men have tried this, but he wasn't all fully man. It didn't make sense to people. But I just say that in 2024, if Jesus is coming through, is he your personal Messiah going to take you out of your situation, which we need, and he will do. I'm not saying that. But how you approach the cross is everything. Or are you a Christ follower and know that he is Messiah, but he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and a kingdom that is coming soon for both you and I, and we serve that greater purpose that we're here to do something greater than ourselves. This is what's going to split the roads. So Son of Man, is he that to you? A King of Kings, a Lord of Lords? Or are you still in, everybody's somewhere, there's no condemnation. But are you still on the sidelines, like the Pharisees? Who does he think he is? My life stinks, there's no God. Again, personal Messiah complex too. Who is he to you? Who is he to you? If he were to come downtown Providence and we gave you some palms to wave at him, who is he to you? That is the question. As Christ followers, it becomes into the sense of a kingdom beyond mindset and truth. The cross is important, and we're going to land on there a lot next week. But he was coming to say, I am a King of Kings. Titles is very important. Titles brings perspective. Trying to move through this quick, but I don't think I can. So let's talk about this kingdom that we're talking about. We hear it in prayers, even through Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. You know, your will be done, your kingdom come mentality. And I don't want to get into a lot of eschatology this morning due to the limited time that I have. But it's very clear, I think we can agree, that we hear in Daniel in the book of Revelations that Jesus is coming to establish an everlasting kingdom on planet Earth. Can we lean into that right now? That's because that's what he was trying to allude to in this Palm Sunday and while he was here in reference as the Son of Man. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, but coming to almost establish an Eden-like environment again on Earth. I don't know about you, but that sounds a lot exciting than me playing a harp in heaven sometimes. That is nice. But if we get to rule and be eternal companions on planet Earth with our God and our Jesus, our King, that's huge. He didn't make Earth for nothing, and he's not rolling it away for nothing. There was intentionality to this. But theologians will debate whether the millennial, the thousand years, you know, where is that? Is it earth, heaven, where have you? And we don't have time to go through all of it. But I love what this author says. His name is author Samuel Whitfield. He says this in a book called Son of Man. He says, Jesus never created this question of heaven or earth. When he referred to the kingdom of God, he indicated the source and scope of his authority. That's really what he spoke about all the time. Jesus was unique because he did not receive his authority from the realm of man. He was not just another human Messiah, as we talked about. He had divine authority. Because he rules as God, his kingdom can go far beyond, far beyond. That's what I want to get you to. There's no ceilings. Far beyond anything anyone has anticipated to refer to as the kingdom of God. So you can't put a box when he says kingdom of God. and Daniel, which Jesus spoke for many times. Jesus referenced Daniel many times. The Son of Man will establish a kingdom on the earth, but that kingdom will rule more than just men or women. It will rule over all dominions, including Satan. That's something to get excited about. That is something huge. So Jesus was talking about his authority and what that means. And as a Christ follower, we are citizens of that kingdom that we need to keep our gaze at. We need to keep our focus at. That's why we're here, because that's where we're going. And that's where we're going. It's much bigger than you and I, of just sitting in a mansion in heaven. Jesus talked about that, but was in the contextual context. There's much greater that we're talking about, and it's good news. It's our permanent residence, and it's with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what initiated Palm Sunday to some degree. That I'm coming into this, I'm coming into Jerusalem. Some may say I'm the Messiah to overthrow Rome. I've used my language carefully, saying I'm a son of man, and I'm a king, King of Kings, I'm a son of God. Some of you are saying, some of the disciples are cheering louder because, like, yes, this officially kicks it off of who he is. And then the Pharisees saying, who do you think you are? You see, it was very interesting, the donkey he rode on, because in the past, when a king would transfer power, they would ride on that past king's donkey. Jesus didn't need somebody's past donkey. This was an untied donkey, which you go in deeper, means an unridden donkey. Because he's our king, an unridden donkey. He rides into the town on a donkey the same week. This is talking about Holy Week, which ignites him later on washing his disciples' feet. He is betrayed by a trusted friend. This is all this week. He is spat upon, abandoned, beaten, whipped, tried, convicted, and crucified, dead, and buried in a tomb. What do you get when this happens for this week? You get a picture of God's core nature of self-giving love for us. Us. Jesus endured the cross events in order to save humanity. We're all human, right? There was no other alternative. And in doing so, he demonstrated that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came into the world to save the world, not to condemn it. Some of you need to be reminded of that, because you were not condemned. You were not condemned. Your neighbor that you don't agree with. They need uncompromised but unconditional love. Then only God can work through you. Not human love. You'll run out of yourself. Unconditional love. Unconditional love. Unconditional love. But this is such an amazing time because Jesus is officially being recognized not in what he has done already as he's been on planet Earth, but who he is. Who? Who he is, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So I'm not saying never call him Messiah. Please, you're not hearing me. In that cultural context, Jesus was intentional not to call Messiah. Because most of the Messiahs people knew were human. And he wasn't purely human, as we know. He was divine. Divine. But we have to ask that question. Certainly during Holy Week is a great time of year to appraise. You know, certainly new beginnings, things are happening. Eventually, rumor has it, the weather may get better. It may, you know. Spring's coming slowly here in New England. But new beginnings to say to yourself, who is Jesus to me? Is he my Savior? Which is key. But then when we go beyond the cross, he should also be your Lord. So important. Some of us are going through a lot, and everybody's somewhere, because we haven't made the leap over the cross for him to become our Lord. And we're still at the foot of the cross, which is good, which we have to surrender to and invite our gate of our heart to be open so Jesus can come in and recognize what he did for us. And we'll talk a lot more about that next Sunday. But there's much beyond the cross. There's much beyond the cross. If we don't go beyond the cross, we begin to Come back next week, but if you will. But we can begin to humanize the cross. Satan would love that because he doesn't have to do anything because we're already human. I mean, it's far greater than what that is. We need the cross. That is how we are reconciled back is we have to surrender and repent our sins. We have to help Jesus nail them as he did to the cross. I'm not saying any of that. But there's so much beyond the cross that he's calling us to. Because if he's our Lord, we will follow him wherever he leads us. Wherever he leads us. Wherever he leads us. The days are ahead where comfortable Christianity the seat's nice, but what are you here for? I may not be invited back next week, but what are you here for? I'm growing in this too. What are you here for? Every day. It's getting darker out. I don't need to sell that. So we're called to be a light brighter. A light brighter. And Palm Sunday is an amazing kickoff to this Holy Week, but it was really introducing who Jesus is. And everyone in that city, that town square in Jerusalem needed to answer that question. I mean, he even proved his authority moments later when he jumped off the donkey and went and turned over a money changer's table. If he didn't have the authority, I don't think he would have gotten too far. So he was beginning to exercise his authority to say, this should be a house of prayer. You guys are selling things, commercializing. And we may not sell things, but there is such thing as consumer Christianity. You pay for it somehow. Just amazing. I want to read, I'm not apologizing, I'm not going to sing the song. I don't have much time here, so I want to kind of land the plane on this. Who is he to you? I'd like to read a song that tells you who he can be to you. If you're troubled, heavy-hearted, come to Jesus, find your peace. If you're run down, empty-handed, come to Jesus, find your strength. He is hope for the hopeless, rest for the weary, let this prophesy over you. Help for the hurting, he is. He is mending the broken heart, bearing the burdens. All that you're needing, he is. If you're wandering in the darkness, come to Jesus and find your way. If you want freedom, need forgiveness, just come to Jesus and find his grace. He is hope for the hopeless, rest for the weary, help for the hurting, he is. He is mending the broken hearts, bearing the burdens, all that you need, he is. He is. Comforter, counselor, prince of peace, author and maker of everything, defender, deliverer, king of kings, he is. He is. Who is he to you? Should be right in there. That's what he is to those who put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. Done for you. Amen?
Amen.
Why don't we stand? If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, please don't misunderstand. He died. He is your Messiah. He is your Savior. He has rescued you from an eternal death. And he did that on the cross, which we'll even begin to celebrate on Good Friday and certainly on Sunday as well, too. But if you don't have a relationship, come down here right after service. We'd love to pray with you. If you came with a friend, they'll come with you. We have a prayer team as well here that would love to pray. You're not joining a church. We just want to introduce you to our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus, who came through his humanity and through his divinity to save us from eternal death. 10 out of 10 doctors believe that we're all going to die physically. Where are you going to spend your eternity? Not even Christian doctors, maybe. They know you're going to die. Where are you going to spend your eternity? We'd love you to be part of the family of God if you don't have a relationship with Christ. If you've kind of wandered away, come up and we'd love to pray with you right after service. We'd love to get you online where you can have what we've been singing about, what we've been talking about. He is hope for the hurting. He will give peace to your life. He may not solve all the storms, but He's going to walk through them with you to make sure you get to the other side. And I would encourage you, just don't think twice. Come up right after church. We'd love to pray with you to receive Christ into your life. Amen. He loves you. Keep in mind, Good Friday. Please come out if you can. Jesus went up the road for you, up the hill to Calvary. And that Good Friday, we want to honor that and recognize that. So come out at 7 o'clock. Won't be long, be probably under an hour, but we just want to take communion, as Verta said, and pray. And then there's a small worship time, and I think it will be very special. And we'll see what the Holy Spirit does. But definitely come out if you can on Friday night as well. And then we'll pick up Road to Resurrection. It is Easter next week, right? What a great opportunity to come to church. Hang on, I'm not done digging yet. But to come to church with a friend or a family that hasn't been. Invite them. Wonderful time of year. Step out. God will step in with you. And do that. Amen? Just want to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for this time that we've had together. Although it seems short and compact, we still believe the truth got out, Lord. And through your Holy Spirit, you know where each and every one of us is right now. So you can minister to whatever.